It's time for overtime.
You ready?
No!
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Jamal Shedd down to nine. Shedd on the bounce, Shedd the blow by, Shedd driving to the hoop, underneath for Robert, two-hand slam!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Monday, June 1st edition of Overtime. Finally, at long last, back in the saddle. Great road trip out to Colorado. And we talk about where my parents live. It is pretty much as far as you can drive in Colorado away from here. Bottom left corner of the state. A very long drive. Very worth it. We had a great time. But I swear, I-80 between Grand Island all the way out there to North Platte, I think they add 5 or 6 or 7 miles to that interstate every single time I drive. That is a very long drive. Happy to be back. Great trip. Kids are worn out, ready to rumble, and a great way to start the summer right back in the saddle here on a Monday, June 1st edition of the show. Still to come, we meet the next general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. They did not opt to have Rob Brzezinski fill the role on a full-time basis, still pending on whether or not he'll stick around after a very brief interim general manager period for Rob Brzezinski. They hire Nolan Teasley as their next general manager. We will meet that figure that'll be very much scrutinized and very much rewarded if he can get this team, program, franchise over the hump for their first Super Bowl victory. Vikings find their next GM, Russell Wilson, retiring de facto by joining CBS Sports as an analyst, at least for now. We'll get you that news. And party like it's 2014, Odell Beckham Jr. is back in blue with the New York Giants as of just moments ago. That and more on the way, jam-packed into a busy hour two on a Monday, June 1st edition of Overtime. Story of the weekend in the NBA, Western Conference Finals Game 7. Lived up to the hype. We knew it would be a great series. We knew it might go the distance. It did. But the ending was pretty surprising to me and to many, that it was the Spurs, the upstart, the young team, the, oh, wait your turn. You might lose in this one. Next year is your time. You wait your time, youngster. No. San Antonio finds a way to win 111-103 in Game 7. Wemby did not have his best statistical game, but influenced the game as he typically does, with a lot of, oh gosh, that guy's in the paint. I'm turning around. I'm dishing it out. I'm not taking this shot that I would take if it was anybody other than that French freak show underneath the basket. Victor Wembanyama, 22.7 rebounds. Kendrick Perkins said the Spurs just wanted this one more and find their way to the NBA Finals that begin on Wednesday.
The one thing that we've done all season long, even last year, is praise OKC for their what? Yeah. The depth. How many guys they have to come in, and we don't know which way they go cut you. You could go with Andrew Wiggins. They acquired Jared McCain at the trade deadline, and he was huge for them throughout the course of this postseason run. But when you have home court advantage, and you have a game seven on your home court, it's zero excuses. The Oklahoma City Thunder were not starving. They weren't hungry enough, in my opinion. I believe the San Antonio Spurs had about 8 to 10 offensive rebounds just in the third quarter, beating them to the 50-50 balls. I didn't see the same hunger there.
And San Antonio wins that series 4-3, on to face the New York Knicks in the NBA Finals, set to begin on Wednesday. Mike Tirico says this matchup between New York and San Antonio is pretty darn ideal for the NBA and its fans.
I think it's good for the league that you have this burgeoning, legendary, superstar, young French player who everybody will get to see on basketball's biggest stage, the finals, and the New York market, which amplifies every story times 5. So I think it's just perfect for the league to wrap up this season with one of those things that'll lay a tone for the next few years going forward and get more people interested in the NBA.
And again, this is a very interesting finals, not what many people had projected. These two teams were pretty darn good in the regular season. well thought of, high in the odds relatively, but you thought it would be OKC, Boston was probably the most common projection. You had the Pistons with a really great record. You had teams like the T-Wolves and the Nuggets and other squads in there. Boston coming in looking good. This has been an interesting postseason thus far, and we got an interesting finals ahead beginning on Wednesday. Knicks and the Spurs, 7:30 on ABC. Here's Chris Canty on the Knicks not being able to stop Wemby, but what is the key to still win despite knowing that it's going to be pretty darn impossible to slow down the seven-footer?
The gravity of Wemby is going to dictate that multiple people try to stop him. And when that happens, can you recover enough? Can you close out on shooters enough where those guys can't get into a rhythm and knock down shots? Julian Champagne was 6-10 from three-point land in Game 7. A lot of that was because he got open looks. You can't let these guys get open looks because they know what to do with them. So that will be the Knicks' challenge, is defending the three-point line in this series, because I've already conceded in my mind that Victor Wembanyama is going to get his. The only person that can stop Wemby is Wemby. But the question is, can you shut the faucet off when it comes to those others? That's going to be the biggest challenge for the Knicks.
And that's Chris Canty on keys in the series. Christian Winfield, what a win in the finals would do for the career of Jalen Brunson and where he would stack up amongst the all-time greats in the organization with a win.
You're telling me that he goes out there and he leads this team to a championship. Number one, it makes him undoubtedly, you're going to talk about him when you mention the great leaders in basketball right now. Right up there with Steph Curry and LeBron James, you're going to start mentioning Jalen Brunson pretty soon if he's able to do this. And on top of that, you're going to start calling him probably the greatest Knick of all time. When you consider the last time they won a championship, it was before the NBA-ABA merger. This is Jalen is the leader of this Knicks franchise moving forward. And if he's able to win a title here, we're talking maybe a statue. We saw street signs go up for just making the conference finals last year. If they win a title this year, listen, you're going to have to find somewhere new to play home games. Knicks fans are going to burn Madison Square Garden to the ground. They're going to spend a season trying to relocate, find somewhere new to play. Like, it's going to be a ridiculous scene. But Jalen Brunson is going to be the guy who you associate as being the best player in franchise history if he's able to deliver them.
That's Christian Winfield of the New York Daily News. So a lot at stake there for New York, and certainly there's mixed opinion on who's favored, who will win, who should win the series. For me, still think it's the Spurs, despite the battle-tested, grinded-out, dinged-and-dented nature. They're not as rested as New York, but to me, the advantage is so darn big, literally, in Victor Wembanyama. I would think it's going to be a great series, 6 or 7 games, but if I were a betting man, I would probably be saying San Antonio. But if you follow this show, and anytime I make prognostications, generally is the kiss of death. Just look at Burt's bank record last football season. I was wrong much more than I was right. So take that with what you will. Now, Evan Cohen talking about all-time greats and what they're supposed to do. Victor Wembanyama wants to be one of those. Here's Evan Cohen on what's ahead of him.
I just think you have the opportunity to do something before you're supposed to. And that opportunity is so indicative and impactful for the rest of his career if he's able to sneak one in right now. The Steph Curry title, the last title he won, the 2022 one, that's like, oh my God, he got one when he wasn't supposed to. The getting the title when you're an all-time great, when you're not supposed to get one, Eli, he got another one against the Patriots? What? Brady with the Bucks. You get the really early one or the really late one when you're not supposed to. I think the opportunity is so enormous to sneak one in here. Either the sneak one in early or the add-on late are so impactful. The ones in the middle are like, that's when you're supposed to do it. It's the ones that you're not supposed to do it that I think set up your legacy all time.
And again, the NBA Finals begin on Wednesday night. Knicks and the Spurs from San Antonio. Game 1, 7:30. Wednesday night on ABC. San Antonio a favorite in the series. And in Game 1, 4.5 points the spread, available at DraftKings Sportsbook. Stanley Cup Final also set. The Carolina Hurricanes marginally favored against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. That series begins tomorrow night in Raleigh, 7 o'clock on ABC. Carolina favored in game at 1, minus 155 on the money line. Major League Baseball, not a kind stretch for the Minnesota Twins. They have lost 5 in a row and 6 of their last 7. They lost yesterday in Pittsburgh, 9-3. Zebby Matthews took the loss. Here is Derek Shelton, Twins manager, looking ahead to what's ahead for his team.
We got seven more, so we got to figure it out. And we got Joe going tomorrow. So, I mean, this is probably the first time a lot of these guys have been on a 10-day road trip, and it's the first time they've had 17 in a row. So we got to keep going. But, you know, in Bailey's situation, he'll get some imaging tomorrow. So, and we'll kind of go from there.
Bailey Ober announced on the 15-day injured list moving forward. Minnesota's new record following yesterday's loss, 27-33. Other notable finals in the American League Central. Boston beat Cleveland yesterday 9-4. White Sox beat Detroit 2-1. Chicago is 32-27. Detroit not out to a great start, 22-38 for a team that was projected to be in the mix of a division crown this year. Other team, Kansas City, also right there in the mix at the start of the year. Kansas City 22-37 following a loss in Arlington against the Rangers yesterday, 6-3. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Tigers and Rays get us going from Tampa at 5:40. White Sox meet the Twins at Target Field, a 6:40 go time, 6 o'clock pregame coverage. Other teams in action, Royals and the Reds from Cincy, Giants at the Brewers, 6:40, Rangers at Cardinals, Rockies at Angels, the nightcap at 8:30. Well, a lot of people might not be too interested, and frankly, I'm not much of a soccer guy when it comes to the MLS or American soccer or Premier League. I'm not really into that. And I know a lot of people out there might not be, but most people are pretty darn interested in the upcoming World Cup. Here's Stu Holden this morning appearing on Unsportsmanlike talking about the enormity of the event on the way.
All time, not even close. It's not even hyperbole either. It's just the fact that we have 48 teams, 104 matches, three different countries hosting the World Cup for the first time. Typically, it's only been one country. Now, the majority of those games are in the U.S. And here's a little fun fact. The highest attended World Cup still to this date was 1994 in the U.S. We have the biggest infrastructure. We've got the biggest stadiums. The country has never seen a tournament like this before. Over 2 billion people watched the final in 2022. That number is going to be bigger. This country is going to go nuts.
Country will go nuts for the World Cup that begins right around the corner. And again, a tremendous amount of matches. It'll be throughout this month of June into the month of July. And Team USA is involved as the host country. A lot to love about the World Cup that's coming up around the corner. NASCAR race over the weekend on the scorecard was won by Denny Hamlin at Nashville. Next up on the circuit, it'll be a race at Michigan Sunday, 2 o'clock on Prime Video and HBO. And let's dive into some NFL chatter now. Adam Schefter doing what a lot of people are doing, that is saying nice things about the Cincinnati Bengals ahead of what is surely going to be a letdown of a season, right?
If Joe Burrow is healthy, they're probably going to be playing with a lead a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're playing with the lead, it takes a lot of the pressure off what should be a much improved defense. And Joe Burrow himself has said that this is the best roster that he's played with in Cincinnati. And if we go back and look, the Bengals did go to a Super Bowl before and nearly won it in Los Angeles with Joe Burrow playing. He thinks this roster might be better. And let's also remember this. Their schedule is about as easy as any schedule in the league. It is set up for the Bengals to have a big year and for them to be a dangerous team.
And we've heard that before, certainly with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and so much more there in Cincinnati. They got rid of Trey Hendrickson finally after a long, well-noted trade request, contract request, anything request from Trey Hendrickson. They draft his replacement, keep him around. Now they add a couple pieces on defense, and everybody wants to talk about they're going to the Super Bowl. I will be pretty darn skeptical. Not necessarily breaking news. I'll be skeptical on the Bengals for a long portion of the season, especially if they get out to another bad start, which has been a hallmark under Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor. I'm talking 1-5, 2-3, 2-4, 3-6 starts in Cincinnati that they've not consistently been able to get over. Now, the Minnesota Vikings, a lot of people talking about the rift in the quarterback position between J.J. McCarthy, Kyler Murray. Here's Dominic Foxworth talking about Kyler being the starter, Kyler being the best quarterback that Kevin O'Connell has ever had during his Vikings tenure.
I do think that Kyler Murray is the best quarterback that they've had there. So I think Justin Jefferson is going to be happy. He will not be reading books about staying calm on the sideline and being able to endure tragedy. Like, I think he's going to have a successful season. This is the best quarterback that he's played with in a long time. He's better than all the quarterbacks that KOC has had before. He's had more success than them independent of Kevin O'Connell. Like, I think that Kyler Murray's had stretches of play that we thought were MVP caliber. All we need is someone to make it so it extends for the rest of the season. I think Justin Jefferson is that person to help extend it along with Kevin O'Connell.
And again, I'm trying my best not to be a hater here. I've always got my Vikings hater cap on, but it's not really firmly on right now. And I'm telling you, honestly, Dominique Foxworth is wrong. Kyler Murray's not a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. Kyler Murray's not a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. He could be. Ability-wise, absolutely. I'm not here telling you he's not a better athlete, not more gifted, not a better thrower of the football. That's absurd. You think Kyler Murray isn't that? Then I don't know what to tell you. He's an elite thrower of the ball athlete at that position in the NFL. Top 10, top 12 at absolutely worst. But when you come down to availability being the best ability, consistency, winning, limiting turnovers, Kyler Murray is not as good in recent memory, especially as Sam Darnold, the dude that just won the Super Bowl with Seattle. And the year before that, won 14 games with the Vikings. So for us to say he's without a doubt the best quarterback Kevin O'Connell's ever had, is he really? Because Kirk Cousins is pretty darn steady. Eddie, he was not amazing by any means. He was not an elite quarterback, but Kirk was always in that top 10, top 12 conversation. Kyler right now is in the middle of the pack in the NFL. And even you most staunch believers that this is going to work out, you need to see it. He needs to win the competition. He needs to stay healthy. He needs to play well before we start anointing Kyler Murray. There's a reason he was available, is what I'm talking about here. I'm not hating on him. I'm not saying he's going to stink or be below average. He could very well lead this team to the postseason, get himself and Kevin O'Connell their first playoff win together. But I do firmly believe that Sam Darnold is better than Kyler Murray today. And I do firmly believe that Kirk Cousins' availability, consistency during the tenure with Kevin O'Connell was enviable by many franchises out there. And Kyler Murray needs to prove it. It's a change of a chapter, turn into the page for him. And the Vikings are doing the same. I'm not hating on the likely outcome here, or I'm not prognosticating that, but as much as I'm saying, I don't necessarily think that's true, that Kyler Murray is the best quarterback that Kevin O'Connell's had. Ability-wise, sure, you could say that all day long. I'm not going to argue. But resume, nah. I'm going to take the guy that just won a Super Bowl. I'm going to take the guy that's been in the league, been consistently good for a very, very long time in Kirk Cousins. Not taking Cousins over Kyler today. Do not mince my words there. But I will tell you, Kirk Cousins, as far as a resume goes, more accomplished NFL quarterback than Kyler Murray. Now, let's keep moving on the scorecard. French Open continuing. Women's side update. Iga Swiatek, number 3 seed in the entire tournament, is out as she lost to Marta Kostyuk yesterday, 2-0. Earlier on today, American Madison Keys fell to 25th seeded Diana Schneider, 2-1. And coming up later on this afternoon, 1:15 local start time, a nighttime start there from the French Open and Roland Garros, top seed Aryna Sabalenka taking on 16 seed Naomi Osaka there on the women's side. And the men's side, number 10 seed Flavio Caboli took down one of the few Americans left in the field, 3-1. Zachary Svadja, the American that goes down 3-1. Coming up later on, actually underway right now, 19th seed Francis Tiafoe, another few American men remaining. Tiafoe taking on Matteo Arnaldi. Gets you an update there, 11:30 start time this morning on TNT. And then softball baseball updates for Nebraska fans out there. College World Series softball, Nebraska lost to Texas yesterday, ending their season 3-1. Texas Tech beat UCLA 8-7. So today, right now, we're underway. Texas and Tennessee, we got a good one. In the top of the fifth, it's tied 1-1. Back against the wall for Texas. Tennessee would have to lose 2 times today to be ousted from the College World Series. But Texas, back against the wall, they have 1 loss. Game 1 on right now, ESPN. Game 2, if necessary, of the day would be 1:30 on ESPN as well. Other side of the bracket, it's Alabama and Texas Tech. The Red Raiders have a loss. 6 o'clock for game 1, 8:30 if necessary for game number 2. D1 baseball, Nebraska lost 2 times yesterday to Ole Miss 6-3, to Arizona State 11-8 as the Huskers bow out of the Super Regional. Huskers conclude the season at 43-17. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number 2. SDSU Jackrabbit men's basketball head coach Brian Peterson officially announced late last week that the program has added 4 notable transfers that will join the team as part of the roster next year. The 4 student athletes are John McConan, EJ Ryans, Miles Thompson, and Jesse Van Kalsbeek. You can meet each of those players, dive into the bios and where they're coming from at GoJacks.com. McConan coming from Colorado State, EJ Ryans transferring in from Western Michigan, SIU Edwardsville, the former home for 6'7" graduate transfer Miles Thompson, and then the last name we mentioned there, Northwestern College, Iowa native, Sheldon, Iowa native, Jesse Van Kalsbeek. You watch any of this dude's film, you think, man, we're going to be saying a lot about this guy moving forward in a Jackrabbit uniform. Very exciting. 6'6", junior forward, Jesse Van Kalsbeek. You can meet all 4 of those Jackrabbit additions to the roster this offseason at GoJacks.com. Other news to dive into, South Dakota's kickoff times for the 6 home game regular football season have been announced by the athletic department late last week. Season will begin with a 1 o'clock afternoon kickoff time against Central Connecticut State on August 29th. It'll be the first matchup between the two teams. The Missouri Valley Conference home opener is slated for October 3rd when they welcome in the Sycamores of Indiana State. Other games on the schedule, Eastern Washington, Southern Illinois, North Dakota, and Northern Iowa. A friendly-ish home schedule for the Yotes. You can view the kickoff times and your opportunity for season tickets, single game tickets at GoYotes.com. And lastly here, we updated you moments ago about the Minnesota Twins and right-handing pitcher Bailey Ober. He lands on the 15-day injured list with right elbow inflammation. Twins announced the move yesterday. Ober has a pretty solid win-loss record, 6-3. The ERA, not as low as you'd want, never is, 4.59 ERA for Bailey Ober. Over 66 innings of work, he allowed 7 earned runs and 12 hits and 4 2/3 innings of work in Saturday's loss at Pittsburgh. Ober reports some soreness and some pain, discomfort in the elbow, and he goes on the 15-day injured list. And the Twins now add Ober to the long list of injuries in the pitching staff, including Pablo Lopez, Mick Abel, Kendry Rojas, Garrett Acton, and more, including Cole Sands for Minnesota. It continues to get long, and Bailey Ober, the latest entrant to the injured list for those Minnesota Twins. When we come back, it's time to meet the new general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. They go external and make a hire of Nolan Teasley. We dive into the background, the why, the what, the who, the where, the when of the move, and also get to the other breaking news out of the NFL. Russell Wilson, I guess, is retiring, joining CBS Sports reportedly. We'll dive into that news. And Odell Beckham Jr., back with the New York Giants after another tryout workout this morning with the New York Giants. We'll dive into that news and so much more coming up next on this Monday edition of Overtime.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Monday, June 1st edition of Overtime. And when I tell you we got breaking news, I dove into the break talking about Russell Wilson and Odell Beckham Jr., the breadcrumbs of a very slow time of the year. But let me tell you what, I got a massive, quite possibly the most massive NFL news we've had since the Micah Parsons trade to tell you about in just a moment. Very big stuff. Buckle up for what I'm about to tell you concerning a trade that sends Myles Garrett out of Cleveland. We'll do that here in a moment, but first things first, step into something delicious this summer with Quickstar's Heartland Ice Cream, the newest scoop in the Nature's Touch ice cream family. There are 12 different flavors to discover over the summer at Quickstar. You can grab a pint for just $3.99 right now, but before you take your first bite, keep an eye open, keep an ear out for the golden scoop. If you find it, and you could win an ice cream factory tour, fun merchandise, and free ice cream for a year. That's right, a golden scoop sweepstakes at Quickstar. You find the golden scoop, free ice cream for a year, factory tour, fun merchandise, and more. Every scoop just got sweeter. Full details at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. Find the golden scoop and win only at your local Quick Star. And before you head there, make sure to order ahead. Use the app. Stack your visits for great freebies and prizes, etc. You can select order ahead in your Quick Rewards app. Order and take care of the payment ahead of time. Quick Star and the Quick Rewards app today. Now, let's get to the big breaking NFL news and something that I had to refresh a few times because I was rubbing my eyes and saying, is this real? Yes, it is. Just like as shocking as it was to see the fallout between Myles Garrett and Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys last August, we saw a rift continue to widen between Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns. This time last year, a little bit prior to this time last year, we saw Garrett express his desire to be traded. And the Browns said, no, we're just going to pay you more money. They did that. They bought another year, and it turned out to be a pretty darn good one, but not a long-term marriage any longer. The Browns are officially trading away their two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Myles Garrett, to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for two-time Pro Bowl pass rusher Jared Verse, a first-round pick next year, and other draft compensation that is still being negotiated. According to Adam Schefter of ESPN, as well as NFL Network's Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, face value. We always love to react to these things and say, who won the trade? Both teams. This is a really good deal for Cleveland so far. We'll see about the additional draft compensation. But they're getting rid of a massive contract, massive playmaker as well, but a massive contract for Myles Garrett, a guy who is still very much at his peak. He'll be 31 come December in exchange for one of the better young pass rushers in the entire league in Jared Verse. You know, in 2 years for Jared Verse in the NFL, he's got 12 sacks and 7.5 came in the regular season just this past year. He's been really darn good. He's a problem in all the good ways. When you talk about offensive game plan, that dude's a problem. Jared Verse is a problem. Myles Garrett is a universal league-wide issue problem. You're trading away a 30-year-old for a 25-year-old. That's going to be a pretty step down in talent because everybody's a little smidge worse than Myles Garrett or right there, depending upon how much you love your preeminent premier pass rusher or whoever you might think it is, whether you want to go TJ Watt or Micah Parsons or a Trey Hendrickson. Anybody you want to talk about being up in that echelon, I think Myles Garrett's the best pass rusher in the NFL, and he heads over to the LA Rams. And this tells you right now, all you Rams fans, zip it about the, oh man, we didn't address our team right now. What are we doing? They just absolutely landed the best defensive player in the National Football League. And it doesn't appear like they gave up all too much. They're trading Jared Verse for Myles Garrett. They're giving up a first-round pick next year. This team is not draft needy. They're built to win right now. And this is exactly the kind of move you make, just like the Packers did last year, to send a message to the league. We're here. We want to win now. And we're going to pony up and mortgage the future a bit to do it. We'll keep you updated on other draft compensation, but that is massive news as Myles Garrett heads out of Cleveland to the LA Rams. And he is saying, thank you so much. Get me the heck out of here. Finally, Myles Garrett on the move. After being a pretty much a model citizen there in Cleveland for his entire career, again, had some very few off-field incidents and the helmet swinging thing early in his career with Mason Rudolph, the recipient of that. But Myles Garrett, 125.5 career sacks, 30 years old, and he feels like that generationally talented guy that's going to play till he's 35, 36, 37 years old, maybe longer. He's at his peak right now. Just stacked 23 sacks last year. And that obliterated his personal best, which was 16 two times over in 2021 and 2022. Myles Garrett is that guy. You could argue, again, like I said, you can put up your favorite pass rusher in the conversation. I'm not going to yell at you and tell you you're outright wrong, but Myles Garrett has been consistently dominant forever. 2017, rookie, played in 11 games, had 7 sacks. Since then, double-digit sacks every year, and 23 sacks on that Browns team last year. Heading to the Rams, massive deal. We'll continue to break that down as more details become available. Other news to get to in the NFL. Russell Wilson is reportedly finalizing a deal to join CBS Sports after a lighter market this offseason than he may have anticipated. Wilson, who also reportedly had an offer from the New York Jets to join the team as a backup to Geno Smith had acknowledged last month that he was considering joining CBS Sports. A 10-time Pro Bowler, won a Super Bowl and the prestigious Walter Payton Man of the Year Award during his career, is now set to leave the National Football League as a player to become an analyst on the network's pregame show that includes James Brown, Nate Burleson, and Bill Cowher. CBS Sports Country, let's ride. Russell Wilson in the fold. Odell Beckham Jr. reportedly signing with the New York Giants, also in the news items today out of the National Football League. By the way, if you're just now flipping your radio on, I just hit it a second ago. Myles Garrett's been traded to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for Jared Verse, who's also a good player. Not an elite, not a great player just yet, but Verse, very good young player in the NFL. First round pick and more reportedly in exchange to the Cleveland Browns as they clear off a whale of a contract off their books, get a lot younger, get a lot cheaper, which they should be in the business of doing because they stink in Cleveland. They have stunk for a long time. Time to retool, gather up those first round picks and punt everything into the future for Cleveland as they say so long to Myles Garrett as of 10 minutes ago. The Minnesota Vikings news feels like a blip on the radar compared to what we just shared with you. The Vikings have hired their next general manager. His name is Nolan Teasley. Sources told NFL Network's Tom Pelissero this news from Saturday. Teasley has spent the last 13 years with one of the best organizations front office-wise in recent memory in Seattle. He began as an intern, advanced to assistant general manager in 2023. He replaces Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who the Vikings fired back in late January, and interim general manager Rob Brzezinski, who was also a candidate for the permanent job. We do not know whether or not Rob Brzezinski's sticking around. That will, I'm sure, come out in due time. Because they fired Kwesi so late in the process, the Wilf family decided to tap Brzezinski, their longtime salary cap analyst and contract negotiator, to lead the temporary front office during the most important team building time of the year. It's an interesting process here. Personally, I would prefer to have had your leading man in charge long term, making the draft so we could hold somebody accountable. But Minnesota goes a little differently. They go interim, go through the draft, go through free agency, and now everything is shifted off to Nolan Teasley. Moving forward for Minnesota, Teasley was the only candidate among the five finalists without a clear connection to Minnesota or a key member of the organization. Brzezinski's worked with the Vikings since 99. Bills assistant GM Terrence Gray and Broncos assistant GM Reed Burkhart each spent more than a decade with the Vikings as scouts. And Rams assistant general manager John McKay worked with coach Kevin O'Connell when O'Connell was the Rams OC back in 2020 and 2021. Nolan Teasley, the name to know for Minnesota, will continue to introduce you to the new general manager of the Minnesota Vikings as we make our way through a busy first week of June. Well, bad news over the break for my Green Bay Packers. Packer running back Josh Jacobs was reportedly released from jail on Wednesday of last week after being arrested on several domestic violence charges that are pending further investigation. The Brown County, Wisconsin DA's office announced that the investigation, quote, remains open and ongoing. Here's the official statement from the district attorney. After reviewing the available evidence in this case, the Brown County District Attorney's Office is not yet prepared to make a formal charging decision, as there is reason to believe that additional evidence may exist that could impact whether criminal charges are appropriate and what charges would be issued. Mr. Jacobs will be released from custody at this time. Again, reading from Wednesday. And a final charging decision will be made by our office at a later date. If you missed it, the 28-year-old running back of the Packers was booked on Tuesday of last week by the Hobart, Lawrence, Wisconsin Police Department on charges of battery, domestic abuse, criminal damage to property, domestic abuse, disorderly conduct, and intimidation of a victim. According to Brown County jail records, the strangulation and suffocation charge is a felony, and the four other charges are misdemeanors. Jacobs, through his attorneys, according to ESPN.com, has denied the allegations as of last week. And on Wednesday, his attorneys released an additional statement. Here's what they had to say. We are extremely pleased that Josh has been released from custody and that no criminal charges have been filed. As we previously stated, we encourage everyone to keep an open mind while the matter is fully reviewed. We remain confident once all the evidence is gathered and evaluated, it will confirm that no charges should be brought against Josh in the future. That's the latest there on the case. We haven't heard much since that time. No formal charges have been levied just yet. That still could happen. And if you're wondering about the ramifications, the repercussions, what could happen with Josh Jacobs in the NFL, lots on the table here. Suspensions on the table, depending upon what happens in the legal case. A cut out of Green Bay is also possible. And I know that seems like maybe an overreaction, but the Packers typically keep things pretty close to the vest, especially with criminal situations like this. Potential, alleged criminal activity here, again, for Josh Jacobs. But if you're wondering about what will that mean for the Packers, how could they get out of his contract? Well, they could. He was a cut candidate heading into this offseason. I'm not saying that I would have cut him. I want Josh Jacobs on my football team if I'm Green Bay. But there is an opportunity for Green Bay should charges come down on the Packers team that it's going to be a long suspension and not worth their time to keep Josh Jacobs on the roster and pivot to somebody else on that roster. Packers will actually save a lot of money by cutting Josh Jacobs. Is it enough to not have him on your football team? Probably not, but they'll save $11.5 million as they owe him no additional guarantees on his contract. That being said, he does have a dead cap charge of roughly $6.5 million, but that could be spread over 2 years because it's post-June 1st. And I know I'm deep in the weeds here, but the Packers could cut Josh Jacobs should there be some charges that stick, a suspension to follow. We'll just have to wait and see this offseason for the Packers and running back Josh Jacobs. Well, this was an easy candidate for the bad and the ugly as well, but the Illinois House has closed its legislative session without passing a bill that would help the Bears build a stadium in the state of Illinois. Pro Football Talk on the news, it leaves the Bears with two options. Building their own stadium on the property they own in Arlington Heights, that's a northern suburb of Chicago, without the state's help. Or building a stadium in Hammond, Indiana, where that state has already passed legislation designed to entice the Bears. The team released a statement early Monday morning saying they were considering both options. But the Bears look like, if you're being honest here, I'm sure some people in the Bears, to use a bear pun, are feeling the warm and fuzzies about the city of Chicago, about the state of Illinois. But apparently the political arm, the political parties, those powers that be, are not really returning the favor about, you know, keep the Bears in Chicago. That's a lifeblood of the city. People love the Bears. They do. It's a rock solid fan base. That's a really great city, really great American city, particularly in the summer. But also, the Bears belong in Chicago. But it doesn't feel like Chicago's even in the conversation. They're not at this stage. Arlington Heights, a northern suburb, is. And then Hammond, Indiana, if you draw a line from the south of Chicago out a little bit to the east, right there south of Gary, is Hammond, Indiana. The Hammond, Indiana Bears. We're about to give the Hoosier State, Indiana, respect included, love Indiana. They're about to have two NFL teams? Crazy. Crazy news items here from Chicago. We'll keep you updated there as well as further details become available. But lastly, from the National Football League, couple other news items to pass along. The Steelers have let go of their senior special teams assistant, Darius Swinton II, for a violation of club policy. Not a lot of details. Steelers declined to provide the exact violation. Swinton was hired as part of new coach Mike McCarthy's staff earlier this year, and he was dismissed due to workplace misconduct. That item, an article available at ESPN.com. And an unfortunate passing to pass along here as we conclude the segment. Pro Football Hall of Famer Raymond Berry, whose reliable hands were often found on the receiving end of passes from Johnny Unitas with the Baltimore Colts, has passed away at the age of 93. Berry's family, in a statement released through the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Monday, said Berry passed away peacefully at home on May 25th in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, while surrounded by family. Played 13 years in the NFL, all with the then Baltimore Colts, and was a six-time Pro Bowler who led the league three times in catches and yards and twice in touchdowns. He was a member of the NFL 100 all-time team, and is number 82, retired by the Colts, also a member of the Baltimore Ravens Ring of Honor. After his playing career, following 14 years as an assistant coach at both the NFL and college level, Berry was named head coach of the Patriots in 1984. One season later, guided the Patriots to the Super Bowl, where they lost to the 1985 Chicago Bears. Again, Raymond Berry passing away at the age of 93 as of May 25th. So just last week, rest in peace to Raymond Berry. Time now to take a break, come back with some whip around coverage and a big edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly. A lot to get to over the weekend, but the good news we teased to start out the show, Serena Williams is officially back. How back? What's he going to do? We'll get to those details coming up next, but that is for sure good news for the sports world and fans of the comeback once again. The good, the bad, the ugly coming up next as we say so long to the Monday edition of Overtime after this.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a Monday edition of Overtime. And it's not fair, the amount of news that has been let go of today just across the sports world. We, of course, told you about Russell Wilson. He's going to retire, de facto retire, and join CBS Sports. Odell Beckham Jr. is back with the New York Giants. We also got big-time news out of the world of professional tennis centered on Serena Williams announcing a comeback to pro tennis. We'll dive into all of that news in conjunction with the fact that we buried the lead of Myles Garrett getting traded from the Browns to the Rams. Enormous news items to share in the good, the bad, and the ugly right now.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bird is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly brought to you by Lewis Drug and Lewis Lawn and Garden. Of course, lawn and garden departments extend to the grillable items and grillable treats in your life. And right now at Lewis, just $449.97, you can score a porcelain enameled cast iron grated grill. The Weber Spirit EP325 LP Grass Grill Snapjet Ignition featuring powerful boost burners that unleash 40% more power for perfect sear marks and caramelization every time. Head on over to Lewis Drug. That on sale this week for under $450, typically valued at $650 at Lewis Drug. Well, the good news, the great news for Serena Williams officially making a comeback back to professional tennis. Williams will play in the doubles event next week at the HSBC Championships, a 500-level event held at Queen's Club in London. Williams first teased her return on Monday morning with a social media video from longtime sponsor Nike. In the 17-second clip, Williams can be seen on the tennis court walking over to her buzzing phone, text reading, "Guess everybody heard the news," is then shown minutes later. The HSBC Championships announced that Serena will be playing in its doubles event, a 23-time major title winner, the most by any woman in the Open era. Williams had fueled speculation of a comeback after re-entering the International Tennis Integrity Agency's drug testing pool back in the fall. Serena Williams officially back coming up just next week. Other good news, the jersey that Dallas Wings young star Paige Beckers wore throughout her WNBA debut on May 16th of last year has sold via auction for $64,720. That is a record for a WNBA jersey. The record paid for an item of women's sports memorabilia belongs to one of the two tennis rackets that Billie Jean King used in her 1973 Battle of the Sexes match against Bobby Riggs, which sold for $125,000 back in 2017. But that is a very expensive jersey for Dallas Wings young star Paige Beckers. Other good news, Becky Hammon continues to score wins, and she became the second fastest coach in WNBA history to reach 150 victories as the Aces beat the Valkyries 91-81. Yesterday, Hammon achieved the landmark in 205 games, only trailing Van Chancellor, who did it in 198 for the then Houston Comets. Hammond saying, "What stands out to me the most is how much I enjoy the process. We're a process kind of team. If you go through the right process, you get good results. The results will be there." Certainly have been really darn good for Becky Hammond and the Aces. Bad news to share, Dennis Hull, the two-way NHL forward who starred alongside superstar older brother Bobby Hull with the Chicago Blackhawks and helped Canada win the 1972 Summit Series, passed away over the weekend, according to his brother Gary, at the age of 81. Nephew Bart Hull confirmed Hull's death on social media Saturday, and the Blackhawks followed that with a statement from owner Danny Wirtz. No other details available. Hull played in 13 of 14 NHL seasons with Chicago before one final year with the Red Wings in Detroit. He appeared in 5 All-Star games and was voted a second-team NHL All-Star back in 1973. Now, other news to get to. Bad news, ugly news. How about some weird news out of Major League Baseball? Toronto Blue Jays outfielder Jesus Sanchez was injured by a ball thrown from the bleachers on Sunday, sustaining a bruise to his right wrist that forced him to leave against the Baltimore Orioles. Well, the absurd sports world continues to give us gifts. The culprit wasn't a malicious fan. Rather, the ball was tossed by a youngster who merely wanted to play a game of catch. This is not a Henry Rowan Gardner Rookie of the Year situation. Throw it back from outfield and it's zooming into the catcher's mitt at 185 miles an hour. This was a kid thinking that he was going to play catch with Jesus Sanchez. The mishap occurred in the 6th inning of Baltimore's eventual win. During a stoppage, Sanchez glanced up at the fans in the right bleachers. Not long after that, the ball soared from the stands and plunked his wrist. Accurate youngster. I wasn't trying to play catch right there, Sanchez said through an interpreter. I just looked at them, and maybe they thought I wanted them to throw me the ball. It was a complete misunderstanding. Of all the absurd ways to get injured, we talked about recently a Cubs player getting hurt playing with his kids. That's pretty excusable. This is just weird. Certainly excusable. Somebody throwing a projectile baseball from the crowd you're not ready for hits you in the wrist, dings you up. Some crazy, weird news out of Major League Baseball. Lastly here, an update on the NCAA and the case against Brendan Sorsby. The NCAA says it would be forced to become the first major American sports league to allow an athlete who bet on their own games to continue to compete if a district court were to grant quarterback Brendan Sorsby an injunction allowing him to play for Texas Tech this coming year. The NCAA laid out its opposition to the quarterback's request in a legal brief filed late Friday in district court in Lubbock, Texas, that revealed new details about law enforcement's involvement in the origin of the case and the scope of the embattled quarterback's betting. The NCAA also pushed back on Texas Tech's claims that it had intentionally delayed the investigation that had been insensitive to Sorsby's stint in gambling rehab. A hearing on Sorsby's request for an injunction is scheduled for today in Lubbock. It seems like, and I'm not splitting hairs here, I'm trying to be as matter-of-fact as possible, it seems like common sense for somebody, which very much respecting to gambling addiction and respecting to other hurdles personally, professionally, as a quarterback and the pressure, mental health, etc. Respecting all of that, it seems really backwards to have an argument that somebody that bet recently, bet a ton, bet on his team, confirmed, allegedly, we're going to let him play next year. That's what the quarterback and his representatives would like. Just seems like common sense to not allow that, especially while we're still working on an investigation. Not a good look. Certainly a candidate for the bad and the ugly of the good, the bad, and the ugly, brought to you by Lewis Drug and Lewis Lawn and Garden. That is our show on a Monday. We're back for more on Tuesday. We break down that enormous trade tomorrow in depth. Hopefully all the details available. Browns doing business, physically picking up the phone on a trade request for Myles Garrett, getting the deal done with the Rams. Garrett to the Rams, that makes them absolutely the Super Bowl favorite, no doubt about it. If you got another favorite, that's fine. You're wrong. It's the Rams. And the Browns retool, get younger, get cheaper, and finally move off their most valuable piece on the roster that is going absolutely nowhere right now. We'll break that down and more coming up tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Overtime. We'll talk to you then right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.